Jeff Gwynn, an award-winning writer of 19 books, including several New York Times bestsellers, and with the same riveting detail and unmatched investigative reporting that made his Manson an acclaimed bestseller, he's back in a huge way with The Road to Jonestown, Jim Jones and the People's Temple. Before the public knew him as a monster, Jim Jones had made a name for himself as a young minister in Indianapolis, preaching a curious blend of the gospel and Marxism to a racially integrated congregation. He gained recognition as a progressive leader in the civil rights movement and created his own church, the People's Temple, moved his followers to Northern California, where his gospel drew hundreds of new followers. But the backstory, as we know, was not pretty, and it all came to a crushing halt with more than 900 people dead on the 18th of November, 1978. Jeff Gwynn, you have followed the path all the way to the end. And Jim Jones, he certainly was a charismatic man. How did he get so many people to follow him to the end of their lives?
Jones was your typical demagogue in that he tried to tell his followers he was the only one with the answers and that everyone who disagreed was the enemy. But his big gift was that he could convince people to follow them by appealing to their better natures. He told them that they weren't trying to overthrow anybody. They were trying to set an example of racial and economic equality, everybody treated with equal respect, and that the rest of the world would eventually try to do the same thing based on their example. And clearly, that wasn't true at all.
And early on, he had support of people in high places. For example, the then and now governor of California, Jerry Brown. He was an ardent supporter of Jim Jones.
Jones was one of the first to understand that if you can deliver votes, politicians of either party in any philosophic stripe are going to line up clamoring for your support. He made sure that all the members of People's Temple were registered voters. By the time at its apex, he had about 5,000 votes he could deliver in any election, and in a major city, even in a statewide election. That makes a difference. So the politicians came to Jones, and he took full advantage of it.
He knew how the game was played in many ways, and of course he had great success and quite a following. But while all this was going on, he was living a life not accompanying the usual path of a minister. At least that's what we expect of a minister. For example, there was certainly a lot of sex going on.
There was. Jones was a man who took advantage of women who were subservient to him, and of course, that's sadly nothing new. He also abused drugs. There was a lot to him that his followers did not see or understand, and when they did see him slip up, they would tell themselves that this isn't as important as the message we're trying to send out to the rest of the world. So again, like many followers of a leader who doesn't deserve such respect, they chose to overlook the bad things he did, saying that it was more than offset by the positive things.
He was 47 years old in 1978, presumably at the top of his game, and then, as we know, it all came to a tragic end. What happened in that year?
Jones was becoming increasingly paranoid. He'd moved his followers to the heart of the Guyanese jungle, which is one of the densest and most poisonous reptile infested in the world. They were cut off from the outside world, and he constantly kept telling them that the FBI, the CIA, the American government, all their enemies were going to attack at any minute. When a U.S. congressman came to investigate claims from his constituents that some of their family members were being held in Jonestown against their will, Jones saw that as an attack. He had the congressman killed along with some members of the news media who'd come. Then he informed his followers that even though this had happened accidentally, they were now going to be attacked by the government, and the only thing to do was make a final defiant gesture and take their own lives before they could be murdered by the attackers.
Did Lee O'Ryan, the congressman, know he was in such danger?
Lee O'Ryan was convinced that since he represented the U.S. government, he would be safe. And to this date, he is the only member of Congress who ever died while on an official business for the government.
Now, Jones, he certainly consorted with many women in his flock. How many children did he have?
Natural children, we know of three, but there were many more times he impregnated female followers, but he insisted they have abortions. But he and his wife also built a rainbow family. They adopted two Korean orphans, and back in Indiana in the early days, were the first white couple in state history to adopt a black child.
And then on November 18th, he coaxed over 900 people to end it, many children, several hundred of them. These people were loyal to him to the end. Did they have any appreciation for what kind of a crazed man he was?
At that point, they were frightened. They'd bought into his promise that they were about to be attacked. And it wasn't mass suicide, as we believe. It wasn't even Kool-Aid. They used a cheap knockoff called Flavor-Aid, laced with cyanide. But of the 904 who died in Jonestown that day, 300 were children, infants to middle school kids, who had no choice in the matter. Almost another third were old people who, if they hadn't done it, would have been left alone in the middle of the jungle and certainly couldn't have lasted. And a lot of the people actually fought. They didn't want to do this. But there were armed guards, and those who wouldn't cooperate were held down and forcibly injected. It wasn't mass suicide. It was mass murder.
Today, of course, this would probably be on social media, but this was 1978. How did the world at large find out about this?
The bodies were discovered the next day. The news media was only allowed in 2 days later after the bodies, which had mostly decayed already, had been covered and taken out. And there were tapes made. If you really want to, if your listeners absolutely want to hear something traumatizing, the so-called death tape. Jones had a tape running for the whole thing on November 18th, 1978. Can readily be found on the internet. I do warn you, if you listen to it, it's going to be hard.
He was a man with great gifts. If he had not been a nut, could he have accomplished great things?
He actually did accomplish great things. In the 1950s, he was one of the great leaders of the early civil rights movement. And if he'd been hit by a car and killed sometime, say, in the mid-60s, he'd still be remembered in that way is a great man. But as his power grew, so did his megalomania. And here's the truest thing about all demagogues. No matter what they promise their followers, no matter how many positive things they accomplish, at some point they're going to lead everybody to a bad end because they can't resist overreaching. Jim Jones did it, and 900 people died because of it.
A listener asks if he had ever been arrested prior to the events of 1978.
Jim Jones was arrested once in Los Angeles for soliciting an undercover police officer in a movie theater. He managed to cover it up. Again, as you astutely pointed out earlier, he was a master at hiding a lot of his personal life from the outside world.
And when he died with the others, he did not die of poisoning, did he?
Cyanide poisoning is one of the worst ways to go. It deprives the body of its ability to absorb oxygen. You die in convulsions, frothing at the mouth. Clearly, Jones didn't have the guts to go through with what he'd asked his people to do. He died of a gunshot wound to the head.
How are his children doing?
It's been hard, the surviving children, and there's three of them now, all boys. They've gone through hard times. They've tried very hard to rebuild their lives and make constructive contributions. Jim Jones Jr., one of his adopted sons, contributed a great deal to the book and helped me get in touch with other people that had good information. So they want the story to come out so that people can learn from all this.
The book is The Road to Jonestown, Jim Jones and People's Temple. Jim Jones Jr. says, I have to say that it is weird to find out the background of things that I grew up hearing about around the dinner table. The level of research and detail in The Road to Jonestown is the best ever and really lets the readers understand not only what happened, but how and why This book tells the Jim Jones story better than anything I've read to date. This was a three-year journey for you, Jeff. You've done the same kind of exhaustive research on Charles Manson. How much does this take out of you to do a story like this?
Well, particularly since so many good people died in Jonestown that day, because that makes the tragedy worse. They're folks, they shouldn't have died like they did.
We thank you for joining us today. Jeff Gwynn, one of the most talented investigative reporters in the business. Appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, Jim.